Hello, fellow movie friends. I'm Lily Percy, and I'll be your guide this week as I talk with Olympic softball player and sports broadcaster Jessica Mendoza about the movie that changed her, A League of Their Own. Don't worry if you haven't seen it. We're going to give you all the details to follow along.
Careers in higher education are leading to the masculinization of women, with enormously dangerous consequences to the home, the children, and our country. When our boys come home from war, what kind of girls will they be coming home to? And now, the most disgusting example of this sexual confusion, Mr. Walter Harvey of Harvey Bars is presenting us with women's baseball. Mr. Harvey, like your candy bars, you're completely nuts.
A League of Their Own tells a fictionalized version of a real-life story, something that I never learned until I saw the movie, which is that for a brief time in history, women were playing in their own professional baseball league during World War II, when all the men and a lot of baseball players were off fighting in the war.
On the home front, they find them everywhere. North, east, south, and west, and even Canada. Players for the new All-American Girls Baseball League. After the first month of league play, the shine still isn't off these diamond gals.
The movie focuses on a specific team, the Rockford Peaches, and all the women who make up that team, which includes two sisters, Dottie and Kit, who love each other deeply but are also extremely competitive.
That last pitch was right down the middle. If I'd have swung at that, I'd be the big hero. But you got me so crazy.
All I said was lay off the high ones.
Yeah, good thing your sister bailed you out, Kit. Kit, why don't you get your sister to teach you how to hit? Kit, why can't you be beautiful like that sister of yours,
Dottie? What idiot said that?
No one. But I know that's what they were thinking.
No, it's not. Why are you walking so fast?
Why are you?
I don't know, because you are.
Can't even let me walk faster than you?
Sure.
A League of Their Own was directed by Penny Marshall, and when the movie came out in 1992, it was a big deal. Not just because it starred Rosie O'Donnell and Madonna and Gina Davis, but also because it was an all-star cast of women, and it was a sports movie. But what stood out to me when I was a kid and first saw the movie was that I was seeing two sisters act out their relationship on screen. I have an older brother, so I don't know what it's like to have a sister, but I know what it's like to be competitive with him, and also to love him. And the movie showed both of those things so honestly.
I've been traded to Racine.
You? I told them to trade me.
Oh, yeah, they'd really trade you. Miss Star, Miss Perfect. You knew exactly what was going to happen the whole time.
I didn't. This will be better than this.
Come on.
I gotta see.
Quit, okay? I'll quit. Is that what you want me to do?
Sure, then everybody will blame me for you quitting.
What do you want me to do? I'll do it.
Stay away from me. Just leave me alone. That's what I want you to do.
Blow it out your rear end. I am so sick of being blamed for everything that's bothering you. I got you into this league, goddammit. I got her into the league. I didn't even want to be here.
Then why are you still here?
The life and career of Jessica Mendoza embodies the spirit of A League of Their Own. The movie and the character of Dottie in particular, played by Gina Davis, inspired her to break her own ground. She's an Olympic softball gold and silver medalist, and she was the first female commentator for a Major League Baseball game in the history of ESPN. But the movie didn't just inspire Jessica's career. It also mirrored the relationships she had with baseball and her family. I would love for you to travel back in time with me, Jessica, for a minute. I'd love for you to close your eyes in the room that you're in right now. Just take a minute and close your eyes. I'd like for you to think about the first time that you saw A League of Their Own, where you were, who you were with, how old you were.
You know, it's funny, I can't remember the first time I watched it because I watched it so many times. I mean, literally hundreds and hundreds of times that A League of Their Own really was weaved into my own life, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much that A League of Their Own was like, I'm going to watch a movie, and this was the time and place that I watched this movie. It was almost like the characters in the movie were a part of my life. And as I had a sister as well, and we were playing softball, and we were young, and it's more actually how I feel like even Tom Hanks was so similar in a lot of ways to my dad, and how the characters within the movie were so much similar to those in my own family.
Yeah, you grew up in a family that played sports, right? Like your dad was, he himself was an athlete. I think, did he play American football?
He did. He had a full scholarship at Fresno State, and he was a head baseball coach and defensive coordinator in football at a college. So when I was growing up, sports was a way of our life. He was our coach always.
So since, you know, this movie has been such a part of your background, was it something that you watched like with your sister alone? Do you remember watching it with your family, or what role did the movie have in your own kind of family dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, you got to think growing up in the 90s, right? Seeing women play baseball in a major motion picture was like, oh my gosh. Like, and it wasn't some cutesy little poorly played. I mean, Dottie Henson was my idol. I mean, it's funny because I, you know, Brett Butler is who I watched on the Dodgers when we go to Dodger games. And in my brain, Dottie Henson was who I wanted to emulate because we didn't have women on TV playing softball or baseball at that time. You know, we still don't have women playing baseball on TV even now. And so to see women and doing it right, seeing them get all dirty and like scratch up their legs and just the way they played. And what's crazy is I actually have Gina Davis. I got to meet her. And what was a weird moment for me is like, as much as I respect Gina Davis as the actress, I asked her to sign a baseball for me as Dottie Henson.
Like she were a player, yeah.
So I have an autographed ball with Dottie Henson, this made-up character, because that character, and I'm sure actors and actresses get this a lot, but it was that character that stood out to me way more than Gina Davis, the actress.
Look, sis, she's getting everybody out high. Don't swing at that pitch, okay?
I can hit it.
You can't.
I can.
This bat's too heavy. You're never going to get it around.
I will.
Listen. There's a big pole on the right side, okay? Don't look. Well, if she pitches inside, you're going to have to pull it, okay?
I know.
Set her up.
No high ones.
I like the high ones.
Mule.
Nag.
You know, I love that you talk about how important this was to our generation of women growing up. I'm only 2 years younger than you, and I remember seeing this movie and being so struck by the kind of feminism that was so boldly being portrayed in this way. And there's actually this writer, Sayward Darby, she wrote this piece for The Cut about A League of Their Own. It was called A League of Their Own Taught Me How to Be a Woman. And she says, you know, it was my introduction to feminism, a word I didn't have in my fourth grade vocabulary. The notion of women unapologetically doing things they weren't supposed to do was revelatory. Here were dirty, sweaty women playing their hearts out in skirts foisted upon them by the patriarchy, another word I didn't know but would in time. They were talented, passionate, and demonstrative. They acted sad when they felt sad, angry when they felt angry, even lustful when they felt lustful. I wanted to be friends with them. I wanted to be them. I'm so curious, you know, that message of feminism, not just in sports, but in general, to be a woman. I wonder if you learned any lessons about what it meant to be a woman watching this movie.
Well, I think I learned that being a woman isn't defined by one thing. And a lot of times in media, in motion pictures and how women are portrayed, it's beautiful, a specific body type.
Yeah.
Very humble, very kind, very sweet. It's a very similar category across the board. What I saw in A League of Their Own was the way that a female is defined is through a Doris with a bigger body.
Played by Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, Rosie O'Donnell. Sorry, I know
these
are characters.
I know
in the movie.
These. I will interject at certain points with the actors' names, but their characters are real people to us. We get that.
I mean, all the way May, right? I mean, there's some of that in a lot of us.
Played by Madonna. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and that just rebellious, and you know what? I'm not going to be the perfect married woman, and I'm going to be rebellious, and I like boys, and I'm going to kiss them when I want to, even during a baseball game. And like Kit, right? The fight, yeah. Like just total, you know, I'm not going to play by the rules. And Dottie, yes, of course, was a little bit more of the female, but then she'd go and do something that was uncharacteristic of a female.
Yeah, she'd slide toward home.
Yes, totally. And do the splits to catch a ball, you know, like there were so many things that I felt like embodied what a woman is, because you know what? We're complicated. We don't belong in one box. We aren't one character played by the same character in every movie over and over. And for me to know that I'm strong and that I am not perfect, that I have all these different things about me on any given day, and honestly, the women that I play with do too. It was the first time that all of that was defined in a way that I hadn't seen in a major motion picture.
Doris, is this your boyfriend?
Yep.
Is it out of focus?
No, that's how he looks.
Well, you know, looks aren't the most important thing.
That's right. The important thing is he's stupid, he's out of work, and he treats me bad.
Then why?
Why? What do you think? Because, you know, none of the other boys ever, always made me feel like I was wrong, you know? Like I was some sort of a weird girl or a strange girl. Or, well, not even a girl, just because I could play. I believed them too, but not anymore, you know? I mean, look it. There's a lot of us. I think we're all right.
We are.
Give me this.
Time it is now.
Dottie being the beautiful, I mean, she's often singled out to be on the covers of magazines, right? To represent the whole team, to represent the Peaches. And yet she's a really complex character, right? She's someone who isn't really confident in her skills as a player. Talk a little bit about what you saw in Dottie and the character played by Geena Davis and how you related to her.
I related to her, well, in a lot of ways. One, her relationship with Kit was huge for me.
Because of your own relationship with your sister.
My sister was 2 years younger than me, more of a fireball. Like her and I battled, you know, obviously I played at Stanford. She played at Oregon State. We both played in the same conference, both on scholarships.
Wow.
You know, we grew up playing together and against each other and with each other. And oh my gosh, like literally we would use all the time, like, stop swinging at the rise ball. Like, I like the rise ball. Like, I mean, there were so many lines in that movie that like my sister and I already used, but then almost like incorporated more and like, nag. I mean, just the words and the way they loved each other. Now,
yeah.
I do have to say, and I might be jumping ahead on this, my favorite movie of all time is A League of Their Own. Worst ending. And I might insult you, but like on this one,
no.
And I go with this with my sister. If my sister tried to take me out at home plate when she ran through a stop sign and had no business even trying to score, I am not going to drop that ball. And like, I'm getting all fired up right now. Dottie Henson, in that moment, there's no way. And that's like why the big controversy, did she drop it on purpose?
Yes.
She had to have dropped it on purpose in my brain because she was the best athlete. Like there's no chance. Plus I've been involved in a lot of collisions at home plate. The ball drops at contact. It doesn't drop after the fact when you're holding the ball and then your hand hits the ground.
So what you're saying is you're calling bullshit on this.
I'm calling total BS, total bullshit. Dottie drops the ball on purpose. And then on top of that, Dottie, I felt like I knew Dottie. Like I felt like I really knew her. And the person she was, she's going to hold on to that ball. And Kit, you know what? You're out. Like, I felt like that was Hollywood putting just their little spin on like, but at the end of the day, we compete and it's not about winning and
exactly.
It's about your family and your love. No, it's about winning. Like,
yeah.
I played against my sister in college. I would want her to get a hit, but if she tried to, I was an outfielder, she tried to run on me, like I'm throwing her out. Like, are you kidding me? Like, to me, it was more of just like, what is competing? And they didn't, the movie was perfect in understanding like just the psyche of an athlete and Dottie's contemplation. I mean, I go through that even now, like when I, you know, I was playing in the Olympics and I had children and you're trying to decide family, sport, and figuring out if you can do both. And for Dottie to come back, like her true passion, you know, to give it one last thing. I know in my heart, the real Dottie Henson doesn't drop that ball.
Oh, Dottie.
Look, I'm sorry I knocked you over.
No, you're not.
You were blocking the entire plate. How do you expect me even
look,
get
it? Look, that's the way the game is played. You did what you had to do. You just beat me. You wanted it more than me.
I think I jammed my shoulder, if it makes you feel any better.
Little?
What you're talking about here reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if you read the Roger Ebert's review of the movie when it came out.
No.
But he talks a lot about like the context of the time period, you know, because obviously this movie is based on something that was very real and a piece of American history. But he had this point of view that just blew my mind that I never really thought of, which he says, you know, what we learn about Dottie is that she never took women's baseball all that seriously. She was the best player of her time, and yet in her mind, she was simply on hold until her husband came back from the war. Dugan, the coach, tells her she lights up when she plays baseball, that something comes over her, but she doesn't seem aware of it. This ambiguity about a woman's role is probably in the movie because it was directed by a woman, Penny Marshall. A man might have assumed that these women knew how all-important baseball was. Marshall shows her women characters in a tug of war between new images and old values. And so her movie is about how it felt as a woman suddenly to have new roles and freedom.
Wow.
I know. I never thought about that. Because it is. These women, if they had actually been allowed to be the players that they wanted to be, they would, right? But society, generational sexism, their own
yes.
families, all these things are telling them, yeah, you can do this for now because, you know, men are off in the war and we need you to, but remember who you are.
No, and especially, and that's, I think, that was like an underlying theme of the time. And something that I was young, obviously, watching this movie and growing up with this movie. So, of course, going through my mind wasn't marriage. But I'm not kidding. Like, I never wanted to get married.
Hmm.
And sometimes I wonder if, and not that A League of Their Own, like, had all of that to do with it. But honestly, I do know what had to do with it. And it was this idea still of wondering if getting married would take away my freedom, would take away my
yeah.
ability. Because at the time, you know, I'm training for the Olympics. I have all these personal goals. And I remember telling my husband no the first time he proposed because I literally, it had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with my own societal assumptions on what would happen once I got married. And to that movie, so I'm 11 years old when A League
yeah.
of Their Own comes out, right? And you think about my formative years are right in front of me. I'm in middle school,
yeah.
entering into high school, discovering, you know, boys, thinking about the future and all of that. And I just remember thinking as an 11-year-old, how could you not play?
Yeah.
And that was the blessing of growing up in the 90s and obviously knowing mm-hmm. that I would do what I wanted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feared marriage because I always thought once that happened that I had to let go of my own ambitions and take on my husband's.
Which is what you saw in Dottie, right? I mean, Geena Davis's character. Like, Dottie.
Exactly. And she still did it. That's the thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
She stopped playing after that. Sorry, I'm interrupting you, because she came back. So, yes, great. But then she didn't play again.
Yeah. And she was disconnected from this community, because what you see in the movie is,
yes.
you know, you see her older at the beginning and at the end when they reunite in Cooperstown at the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you really get a sense she's disconnected from this community because she left, because she decided to choose her husband's life and her family.
Exactly.
Look, I'm going back to the hotel and then Bob and I are driving back to Oregon. You're welcome to come with us.
No, you two should be alone. I'd just be in the way.
When do you think you'll be coming home?
Well, some of the girls have been talking about staying around here, you know, and getting jobs. I really like it here.
Christmas?
I don't know. But you're coming back next year, right?
No. I want to have kids. We want to have kids.
Dottie, you got plenty of time to have kids. You couldn't give this up. You'd miss this too much.
Miss it? Yeah, miss putting on all this gear, catching a doubleheader in 100-degree heat, pushing the bus through the mud, getting slammed into every other day by a base runner. Think I'm gonna miss that?
Yeah.
Our This Movie Changed Me team is already dreaming and brainstorming about season 3, and we want to make sure that you are a part of that. We'd love to get your feedback through an audience survey. If you respond before November 24th, you'll be entered for a chance to win a set of the 16 illustrations that accompany our episodes this season, illustrated by the artist Julia Kwa. You'll get prints inspired by the movies we've talked about, from Black Panther and Groundhog Day to Coco and Amadeus. For a chance to receive this one-of-a-kind gift, go to onbeing.org/TMCM survey. That's onbeing.org/TMCM survey. And thank you for being part of the This Movie Changed Me community.
In a sentimental mood, I can see the stars come through my room.
It's so clear to me that Dottie, Gina Davis's character, influenced the person that you are today. I mean, you did this interview, a short video profile with Allure magazine, and it ends with this really amazing quote that I feel like could have come out of Dottie's mouth. Were she born in a different time? Were she born in the time that you were born? Where you say, you know, about your own role in sports. You say, I understand the responsibility that I'm carrying, and so every day I'm thinking, I could be studying more, I could be doing more to prepare, because I need to make sure that this door to women in a men's sport stays open. So that it's not just me doing this, but that there are lots of opportunities for more girls and women to do it even after me. I'm different. I recognize that. And I need to make sure that I am as prepared, that I understand that I've done everything I can, knowing that people are going to want to say, she doesn't belong. I want to prove to them I do. That's amazing.
It's where we're at, you know, and it's something that I don't really realize a lot of the context of even anything that I'm doing in baseball. But I do realize the responsibility. It's an interesting place to be because I don't sit back and go, wow, like, you know, I've done this and I've done that. It's more of I look around and see there's no other women or few women, I should say, around me. And because of that comes responsibility. It's not about me. So decisions that I make based on what I do or honestly how I prepare, as simple as how I prepare for a game,
yeah,
it's really about the bigger picture of how many women should we have here? And if I mess up, that door can close. And that's responsibility. And I honestly, I love the responsibility because I love pressure. I'm like sick in the mind that way. I've always craved it. That's why like biggest moments at bats, bottom of the seventh in the Olympics, I want to be up because even though I know failure is right around the corner along with what success can bring, like it's either or, right? In those big moments. I always want to be in them. I want to be in the most pressure-packed situations because that's kind of why we live, I think. I live my life beyond, you know, what I do with my own kids and my family. Like, I live my life to be in the moments that we train for. And whether that's just preparing, you know, with your day-to-day work life, whether it's, you know, how you go and push yourself to get a job that maybe you didn't think you could get. Once you're in that position, it's because you want the pressure that comes with it, or you should. And kind of flipping your mindset that when your heart starts pounding and you start almost sweating, that's a good thing. That means you're doing something that's really cool and really impactful, even if it's just like, you know, I told my five-year-old the other day when he played his first baseball game, and he's like, Mom, I have ticklies in my belly. And I was laughing, you know, and I'm looking at him and I'm like, ticklies are a good thing, bud. You're about to go play your first baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, this is a big deal. And just, I was trying to, he's five, but I'm like trying to tell him like the biggest things you're going to do in life, you're going to have ticklies in your belly. And he, you know, he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, but like my point to him was that tickly thing, that thing that's happened, those nerves that you're having, butterflies, that's what we live for.
Yeah.
Like you care about your first game. And he's just like, I want the ticklies to go away. Stop talking, Mom.
Well, it reminds me of that scene between Dottie and Jimmy Dugan, Coach Dugan, where he says, you know, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
It's the hard that makes it great. That's like tattooed into my brain. It's the hard. And then like he pauses. It's the hard that makes it great. And that to me, you can apply to any aspect of life is how by nature, we want to run from those moments, right? But it's hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. I always tell people this. I was never like the most talented player. But what I learned is that when things got hard, when we had to go run shuttles, when we had to get up at 5 a.m. and do weights, when we had to do all the things that were hard, and I know this is on a physical level, but still it was hard. I saw the people that were better than me fall. And I passed them because when it was hard, they did run. And even in my job now, there's times like with criticism or whatever, like mm-hmm. people are coming at you or you're, you know, you're, sometimes even your own bosses are doubting if you should even be there.
Yeah.
It's that hard part that's what allows me to want to do it more. like, let's keep pushing.
Chicken shit, Dottie. You want to go back home to Oregon and make 100 babies? Great. I'm in no position to tell anyone how to live. But sneaking out like this, quitting, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Baseball is what gets inside you. It's what lights you up. You can't deny that.
It just got too hard.
It's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
You know, when I first saw this movie as a kid, and I was a real romantic as a kid, I love romance. I remember being disappointed watching A League of Their Own at the fact that Tom Hanks and Gina Davis, that Jimmy and Dottie don't get together. And now when I watch this movie, I'm so grateful that they don't.
Right?
Like, as a 37-year-old woman, I'm like, I'm so grateful that they become friends and that it's based on this mutual respect and that we see that really modeled for us. And
I was right there with you, though.
Right?
I was, like, crushing on Jimmy Dugan for Dottie.
Yes.
I was like, but they belong together and they, you know. And honestly, what's interesting is there's a moment on the bus, right?
Yes, where that bus scene is my favorite now.
And it's romantic. But in a way that, like, I've learned now, like, you can have romance, and what I mean by romance is, like, true, genuine love.
Yeah.
Without it being, I guess, romantic love. Without
or
it
sexual.
Being...
Or yeah. sexual.
Yeah. Sexual. Yeah. Without it being sexual love. Like, it can be purely this romantic, beautiful love scene that's just two human beings. And one, because it's like a total, like... She, he is just learning and understanding a player that, you know, really screwed up in life and now is changing. And because of a special player in her that helped him see the game differently. And it's this beautiful love scene. But I had been trained calling out, you know, Disney movies my
yes.
whole life, right?
Yes.
That like, okay, when that happens, trigger kissing.
Yeah.
They're going to go off to a bedroom. Like, this
yes.
is what needs
nighttime,
to happen
nighttime, then daylight just begins.
Totally.
Something
and then they're waking up naked, right?
Exactly.
Like, that's what happens. And then yeah. sad, even as an 11-year-old, I was recognizing like this, okay, they need to kiss.
And that this is the only way that men and women can be, right?
Well, that you can't have love
mm-hmm.
for the opposite sex in a way. And you're right. Looking back on it, I'm so proud of that movie for so many reasons, except for the drop ball. Everything else was done perfectly and ahead of its time.
Exactly.
Ahead of its time.
Listen, when Bob comes back, are you going to keep playing?
Oh, no.
You could just quit like that?
Sure.
Because you play like you love it.
No, no.
Does he know how good you are?
Bob?
No, Hitler. Yes, Bob.
How good am I?
You stink. You're lousy. You're only the best player in the league. You don't know that?
Well. Do
you remember? Is there anything else you'd like to say about A League of Their Own that I didn't ask you?
I think the biggest thing is, it's funny because my son, my oldest son who's 9, he, you know, he's getting into movies and he's very funny, super analytical, very inquisitive. He's very careful about the movies he chooses to watch. So it's really cool because he is like the ultimate movie critic even before. So he asks 1,000 questions before we can ever go see a movie. And which is great.
Yeah.
So he asked me just probably a few months ago, Mom, what's your favorite movie? And I told him A League of Their Own. And then he's like, well, what's it about? And so we started to talk about it. And it was kind of sad. I realized that the version I have is the VHS version. And then I have the DVD that's not Blu-ray. So we actually can't even play it in our Blu-ray player at home.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which
so
is really
true.
Sad. Right? Like everything's digital now.
Yeah.
And so he was like asking me question after question about the movie. And he's like, Mom, we need to watch it right now. Which I have to let you know, like, he never does that. He needs months of, like, you know, it's crazy. It's really, he's 9.
I appreciate his thoughtfulness. That's amazing.
Well,
yeah.
But I just want to say, like, for the next generation and the fact that he's a boy, but I described to him how transformative it was in my life. And him and I are really, really close. Like, our souls are connected. Like, I swear he's like the mini version of me. And so he felt for me like how important this movie was in my life. And the fact that I watched it not too far from his own age. I was 2 years older than him, but very close. And he immediately recognized that, no, I need to see this right now. I want to see a movie that impacted my mom's life. And I want to understand it. And I want to, you know, and I got so giddy and so happy. And then I found out the DVD wouldn't even play in the things. I was so mad. I immediately ordered it. And I was like, dang it. But it actually came. I've been on the road now for a month. And so it arrived and I told my husband, I'm like, he cannot watch the movie until I'm sitting next to him.
No, you have to watch it together. So, yes.
Oh, totally. And to sit down with a next generation, my son, a boy, and get his take on the movie and what he thinks, especially with having a mom that's really like made him not see gender as anything different. Like, I think he's going to view this movie as like, oh, of course women have been playing baseball. In his brain, it's like, that's just what they should do. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
Oh, I can't wait for this to happen. Can you please let us know what his reaction is?
Yes, exactly.
Because I want to know.
I feel like I need to like live stream it.
Well, thank you.
Get a whole film crew.
I know. Thank you so much for talking with me and just for picking this movie. It's such an amazing movie. It's wonderful to watch.
It's the best. It really is. And you know what? I'd love for it to be my second favorite because all of a sudden there's a new one that surpasses everything that this movie did. We need another one.
Amen.
27 years.
Yes.
Who's out there? Let's do it.
Jessica Mendoza is a baseball analyst for ESPN and an Olympic softball gold and silver medalist. She also works for the Mets as a baseball operations advisor, is a full-time member of ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball booth, and is a general all-around badass. A League of Their Own was produced by Parkway Productions and distributed by Columbia Pictures, and the clips you heard in this episode are credited entirely to them. The movie's soundtrack was released by Columbia Records, and the score was composed by Hans Zimmer, you know, the guy you guess in movie trivia when you don't know who composed the music.
Grab your coat. Don't forget your hat, but leave your worries. Leave them on the doorstep. Life's sweet.
Next time on This Movie Changed Me, we'll be talking with Minneapolis City Council member and poet Andrea Jenkins about the movie that changed her life, Spike Lee's Malcolm X. You can currently find it streaming in all the usual places, and don't let the 3-hour, 22-minute running time put you off, because it's truly a masterpiece. The team behind This Movie Changed Me is
Maya Tarrell,
Chris Hegel, Tony Liu,
Kristen Lin,
and Lillian Vo.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios, which is located on Dakota land. We also produce other podcasts you might enjoy, like On Being with Krista Tippett and Becoming Wise. Find those wherever you like to listen or visit us at onbeing.org to find out more. I'm Lily Percy, and remember, it's supposed to be hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great.
On the sunny. The heart of the street.
This podcast is produced by On Being Studios in Minneapolis, Minnesota.